Hey friends, you're tuning in to Wisdom and Wellness with Wit, a podcast for your emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual well-being, a space to learn and grow, to be encouraged and maybe even challenged just a little bit. Let's journey together and explore what it means to experience the wholeness God has for each of our lives. Hey, what's up, everybody? Happy Friday to you. Welcome to another episode. Today's episode is based on an Instagram post that I made, and it was called The Scariest Question I Had to Ask Myself to Heal. And I don't think out of anything I've ever posted on social media, I've received so much like feedback and so many comments and so many people being like, oh my gosh, that is me. I didn't even know how to put language to that. And so after just kind of praying and thinking about it, I was like, you know what? I need to have a conversation about this. And so I jumped on IG Live and had a conversation about this topic. So if you hear me saying hi to people, it's because they were in the Instagram Live. And I just thought that this would be a great place to share this conversation as well, because there are so many of us that are healing, and it is actually kind of scary to think about an existence where we are healed, because there's just a lot of questions we didn't even know we had to ask ourselves. There's a lot of things and ways that we've coped with life that won't actually go well when we're healed. And it can take a lot of courage and bravery to like really, really sit back and look at myself and say, wow, God, okay. There's some things I've done where I've just been in my own way. I believe in your timing and your healing, but it can be really painful. And so I just, you know, want to extend my love and grace and compassion towards you. I pray even listening to this conversation, there could just be so much compassion for yourself. And even that you would just lean into the Holy Spirit while you're listening, because none of this is meant to cause you to condemn yourself. And I just really want to make that clear. I think that's where the enemy can jump in and be like, yeah, see, you didn't do that. How dare you? You didn't trust God like that. You're not a good Christian, right? Like all of those things that he does. So even before we start, I just want to pray, Lord, I just thank you for my friend who is listening to this episode, God. Lord, you know what it is they need to hear. And they are here listening to this podcast for a reason. Yes, I believe that you even guided them to this podcast because you have something in store for them. And so I just come against any condemnation, any lies that the enemy would try and just plant in our hearts and our minds and our thoughts. We just rebuke that in the name of Jesus. And we receive your grace and your mercy and your compassion and your unending love that you have for us. Would this be a tool that my friend could just utilize for their healing journey? And that this would just cause them to look at you and to ask you these questions and to partner with you to see, where is it that I need some healing in my life? Whether it's mental or emotional or relational or spiritual or physical. Lord, you have the answers, and you're not hiding them from me. You're partnering with me to heal. So I just speak that over my brother or sister right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm excited just to share a little bit today, because I posted something a couple days ago. And it was about this concept. Also, if you noticed my microphone, I'm recording for my podcast. This isn't going to go on my main feed. So if you don't catch the whole thing, it's totally good. Hey, Matt. It'll be out on my podcast Friday. So I wanted to talk about this concept when it comes to chronic pain. Not even just chronic pain, though. Chronic depression, chronic anxiety, all of the things that we navigate maybe on the regular, on the daily, on the weekly, on the monthly. And you know, so many people reached out about this post. And so I just wanted to, I was like praying about it. And I just felt like I wanted to kind of expand the conversation a little bit. And I want to preface by saying, you know, I am not a licensed therapist or professional. So this is me not like necessarily telling you how to process things. It's sharing my own journey of processing, like what I've learned, and maybe helping pose some questions for your own journey, right? And navigating, because we're all on a journey. And I think social media, everybody want to be telling each other what to do, but I think it's, I don't know, I think there's something beautiful about saying what God has done in us, and that alone can inspire, right? When we share our testimonies, it increases our faith. The Bible is so full of, chock full of testimonies. And so I just want mine to be something else that can kind of add to that pile, right? So we're going to dig into this topic, this question. And I titled the post, "The Scariest Question I Had to Ask Myself When It Came to Healing." And if you're going through anything right now, first and foremost, I just want to say my heart goes out to you. I feel you. Maybe I don't know exactly what it is that you're going through, but I know what it feels like to be like in a pit and just feel like you don't feel like you have any hope. You feel so desperate. You're like, I just don't know what to do. I've navigated this chronic pain for all of my life, or I've navigated this depression for my entire life, or I've been such a fear-based person or such a shame-based person, right? I just want to send my love and just compassion and just remind you like that that is not of God, and that is not his hopes and his dreams and his desires for you. And I think he's created different tools and ways that we can actually learn how to walk in his truth. Absolutely. The Bible, number one, first and foremost. But we're learning in psychology and science just some different ways that we can help nurture our health. And so, again, this question that I asked, you know, I think a lot of times those of us were like, oh my gosh, what if I never get better? Right? And we think that that might necessarily be the scary question. But I think for me, and it was prompted by my chronic pain therapist, whom I love, and I would shout her out, but I don't think you're supposed to do that in in the therapy community. But it was this question of, I'm going to move this over because I wrote a couple little notes. It was this question of, what if I do get better? Hi, Eddie. What if I do get better? Like, now, if you're actually going through something right now, you're probably like, no, that's the whole goal. Like, I feel like crap right now. All I want to do is be better. But it actually takes a little bit more courage, I think, for me it did, to actually lean into this question, what if I do get better, right? And, you know, I've been struggling with different chronic pain issues for about a decade now. And I think I had lost view completely of what it would mean to actually function without chronic pain. And it felt scary. Like when I really sat and thought about it, I was like, I actually don't know what this, what does this actually mean? Because my entire life, my entire thought process, my daily habits, my conversations with friends, how I plan what I'm going to eat during the day, right? The moment I wake up to the moment I lay down, my life, my thoughts, everything I think revolves around my chronic pain. And what I've been learning in my own journey is that this is actually one way that we are kind of trying to protect ourselves, right? You know, I think for some of us, it can be really scary to actually have hope because maybe we've had hope in the past and it failed, right? We had hope that this type of therapy was going to be the thing that fixed us, or we had hope that this kind of diet was going to be the thing that fixed us, or, you know, this new treatment that we're doing is going to be the thing that totally heals us, right? And so it can be really scary to actually lean into hoping that we are going to heal. And I was experiencing that greatly. Anytime I would go to a new doctor, I'd be like, okay, I mean, I'm going to try this, but like, I don't know if I necessarily think that, because there were so many times where I was like, yeah, yep, this is it. It's the diet change. I've been eating wrong. Like, that's the thing that's going to heal me. Or yes, finally, like this IV therapy, it's going to kill the mold and the different things in my body. It's going to kill it and I'm going to feel better. Yes. And it didn't. Yeah, Eddie said, quite common, people unconsciously fear the unknown, which is wellness. Yeah, it can actually scare us, which is crazy. It is crazy. It is crazy. And what I've been learning along with some of this, when it comes to our brain and our nervous system, is that we actually find the most safety in the familiar, right? So for me, what was familiar was vocal pain constantly, was chronic fatigue 24/7, right? Needing to sleep 10 to 12 hours a day, was arthritis in my hips and my shoulders and my knees and my ankles, right? And like my feet, I would get this weird nerve pain. I had different parts of my body go numb. I tore my rotator cuffs in my shoulders. So, you know, lifting my hands higher than my head, you know, used to be really painful. Having severe food allergies, right? So if I ever accidentally had gluten, I might throw up or get like really, really sick. So all I ever knew was like living in this bubble of wanting to protect myself. And so what my brain and nervous system was used to was this way of living. So even if I began to think about a life of healing and feeling better, it's this foreign thought. And our brain functions best, our brain and our nervous system function best on certainty. So this uncertain belief that I might be able to get better is terrifying to my brain and nervous system, because what it knows to be certain is this chronic pain, is this autoimmune disease, is this back that went out, is this sciatica, are these food allergies, right? Like all of these things feel safest to the brain, even though obviously we are miserable and that is not, when we think of safety, right? We don't think of that. We think of like, oh yeah, like, you know, being in the comfort of a loved one's arms or something, right? But no, to our brain and our nervous system, certainty is more safety, more safe than uncertainty. So I had to start, you know, really digging into my own thoughts and my own, like, what is this? What is this fear of getting better? And I think one of the things that I've noticed is this fear of like, more is going to be expected of me, right? So if I'm healthy, like I'm going to be expected to be this normal person who, you know, is a part of society, right? Like I am giving something to society and I am a part of normal, right? Normal in quotation marks, from what I thought. And, you know, that expectancy made me really nervous, like to think that, oh gosh, like I'm going to be expected to do so much more, right? If I don't have to be in bed 5 days a week, what am I going to do with myself? Am I actually going to pursue my dreams? Okay, that feels really scary. that feels way scarier, right? You know, I think also one of the things I've noticed now as I am walking in freedom from 24/7 chronic pain is that I am actually doing these things that I was terrified to do. And I'll be honest, some of it is actually, it is really scary. Talking on an Instagram live and a podcast and creating courses and writing an ebook is terrifying. And I would rather not do it. I would rather be home and not be seen or heard and nobody know my name and just be safe, right? But that's not what God has for me. Like he wants me and needs me to share, you know what I mean? What he's been doing in my life and the healing that I've been experiencing. So I am encountering some of the fears that I thought I would have once I didn't have pain, right? So, and it's interesting because I've been noticing some symptoms flaring up when I'm thinking about putting myself out there more, when I'm coming face to face with some of these fears I've had most of my life. And it is scary, but I'm recognizing and I'm able to instill in myself that I am safe, right? This is not dangerous. It's new. And yeah, it might be scary, but it's not dangerous. And that's the biggest thing that I've been having to remind myself, right? I'm safe. I am not perfect, so I can make mistakes. I can come on an Instagram Live. I can go on a podcast and not do it perfectly because perfection is not required of me. That's never been asked of me. What has been asked of me is to share my testimony and just to be real and honest about what it is that I'm going through, right? And hopefully inspire you to be able to be real and honest about maybe what you're going through and maybe pose some of these questions to yourself, because there's so many of us who are just like gridlocked and locked into these fears, right? I think about, you know, the shame that I've navigated around being sick. And I've talked with some of my friends and, you know, the idea of shame has brought up a lot of emotion for me, right? There's a lot of shame around what I did when I was sick, right? Like feeling like, wow, I did not handle that well. Or once I learned about the mind-body syndrome and learning how I actually can heal, I was like, oh my gosh, did I make myself sick? Like, is it my fault? Is it because of me? Am I the biggest problem? Right? Which is absolutely not true. There are factors that we're not conscious of, right? Growing up, knowing like, oh, this is going to make me develop chronic pain. Let me fix this right now, you know, as a 7-year-old or whatever. So I've had to look at what it means for me to navigate shame. Because I think for me, the safest place to be when I was sick was home on the couch watching TV. And I still, like, when I feel like I'm being pulled at too much or I'm going really fast and I have a lot of things on my plate, I notice myself wanting to shut down. And sometimes I just give into it, right? Like I do. And I lay on my couch and I watch TV. And I really wanted to do that this morning. Oh, I woke up. There's just so much that I've been having to do. And I woke up this morning, I said, I don't want to do it. And then I was like, but why? And I felt like the Holy Spirit was like, you don't think you're good enough, right? Like we don't bash ourselves and stress ourselves into the things that we're going to do when we feel confident and excited about it, right? Like when you wake up knowing you're doing something that day that you love, you are not thinking about how you're not good enough. Like when I started singing, I just loved it. I loved singing with my friends. I loved coming up with like arrangements and getting to come up with harmonies. Like it was so much fun to me. I don't want to say never, because I'm sure I did. Not that I can remember now, right? But I'm sure. I rarely cared about like, am I going to sound good? Not at all. I would be so excited for these shows like that I got to do with my friends and share music that I wrote that I loved. You know, cut to 6, 7, 8 years later, and it became like this, oh my gosh, what if they don't think I'm good enough? What if they don't like my voice? What if, you know, I'm a worship leader? Like, what if I don't bring the presence in the room? Like, what if I don't do a good enough job? You know, and all of that through the years, I've realized my chronic pain is so related to it. Now, other questions I think, you know, I've had to look through. You know, fear of healing means that there will be change. And a lot of us really hate change. Like, I hate change. And I know that I'm not supposed to say it because everything we say, our body hears and feels. So I love you, body. We're sharing it. We're being real. We're sharing it. Okay. Like, I hate change. How many of us have been in miserable situations, but we are proactively keeping these situations going because we are terrified of change? Many of us have been in romantic relationships where we knew it wasn't that great And we may have even heard the Lord say, I got something better for you. But the fear of being single again kept us in the relationship, right? The fear of having to do all of that again, the change. And it's not fun. It is not fun. But this fear of change can keep some of us in these really unhealthy patterns because it is most comfortable. We know it the best. Now, when I think about my journey as a worship leader, right? A lot of my personal worship that has been put into corporate worship where I'm leading has come from this insane crushing of being dependent on God while being in chronic pain. So a question that I had to ask myself was, if I'm not struggling, if I'm not in pain, if I'm not relying on God from this place of lack, will I still want him? Will I still need him? Or will he still want to use me? I think sometimes, you know, especially in church circles, like some people have such remarkable testimonies. We're like, oh my gosh, I mean, that could have only been God. But then there's others of us who like haven't gone through anything that maybe society would deem as, you know, this radical transformational story, right? And one is not better than the other. I'm just saying these are thoughts that we have, right? Then is God going to do anything with me? If I've kind of just had this like boring life, it's been hard and good and hard and good, right? But if I don't have this like from rags to riches story, is God going to use me? Is he going to want to keep me on a platform, right? If I'm not as dependent on him in this situation because I'm not sick, is he going to be my everything? Am I still going to be so deeply in love with Jesus, my healer, once he's healed me? Now, yes, on the other side, I can say that my passion and my joy is not just on God, my healer, right? There are so many aspects to who he is, but these are just very real things that we have to think about. Most of my faith, like my serious faith, has been dependent on God in chronic pain. So even thinking about, okay, if I'm healed, what am I going to pray about? Like, what am I going to struggle with? You know, and obviously, like, when we think about our prayer lives, it's not just about us, right? It's we're praying for our friends and for our family and all that stuff. But it's so easy when you're sick. Like, so many of my prayers were pleading and crying out to God to heal me. So once I'm healed, what is my faith relying upon? What is it based upon? Like, these were such weird and hard questions I had to go through. If I'm not being crushed, am I going to be producing oil? Right? We talk about in the crushing and the pressing, there's that song, like, you are making new wine. So if I'm not being pressed and crushed, what are you doing in me, God? If I'm not broken, are people going to care for me, right? For those of us who have been in situations where we've battled something for a long time and we rely on people, if I'm not sick anymore, are my friends going to check in on me? Like, are people going to care about me? If I'm not kind of this weak, gentle, fragile woman who needs people to check on her, like, will I have any friends? Point blank, right? Will I have anybody that cares about me? You know, there's that saying, like, check on your strong friends. We have such compassion as a society, in my perspective, on those who need help. Like, what about the strong people? So if I'm not weak anymore and I'm strong, it is in my weakness that God is strong. If I'm not weak, whose strength am I going to be relying upon? And who's going to be reaching out to me? If people don't have empathy, if people don't even have pity for me, like, are they going to care about me? There's also, I think a lot of us navigate, myself very much, is not only fear of failure, but fear of success. I think they might be different sides to the same coin, but if I am successful, I'm going to have to do it again. Like, if I actually do something right, people are going to expect me to do it again. If I start a business, I'm going to have to like daily make decisions to keep the business running, right? It took me so long to be down to start any kind of business because of all of my fears. Fear of failure, for sure, 100%. But fear of success. And that's where that whole conversation of imposter syndrome comes in, right? And essentially what imposter syndrome is, for those of us who maybe haven't heard a ton about it, it's like it sounds. It's this fear that people are going to find out that I'm actually not as good as they think I am. And I love, there's a therapist who, he's blown up now because he's so brilliant. His name is Stevan Lewis. He says, it's easy to observe the behaviors of others and determine that they're at a higher level than us. The issue is we don't know what's going on inside for them, and they may have similar views about themselves compared to us as we do about ourselves. I have to move my phone because it's in the way. So it is that they may think that we have it all together and we don't, and we think that they have it all together, but they don't. None of this makes sense. The problem with imposter syndrome isn't that you feel necessarily like a fraud. That's appropriate in some circumstances, right? Like when we're learning new things, it makes sense to be like, I don't know if I'm necessarily good at this yet, but we feel comfortable to give ourselves space and time. The problem is that the feeling doesn't ever disappear. So after you've experienced some success or shown an ability to do the things that you told yourself you thought you could do, you're going to have to keep showing up and doing it time after time after time again. And that's where it causes us to look inside ourselves and be like, I don't think I have it. I don't think God created me good enough to be able to continually be successful. I think I lack in discipline. I think I lack in talent. I think I lack in hearing from God. I think I lack in the capability of making good decisions. Like all of these things that go through our minds. Now, some questions that can be helpful for those of us maybe who are looking at either this fear of success or fear of failure. You know, what does failure mean about me? And I had to go through that on my own and think about it. Like, what is failure? And I think maybe each one of us have a different, if we really were to sit down and think about it, there's like a definition of failure, but I think all of us have created our own idea of what failure is. I think a lot of people think that, you know, failure is trying and then not doing it well. Maybe some people think that failure is just not trying. Maybe some people think that failure is someone's actually going to find out that you're not that good, right? And I actually haven't, I've journaled about it and processed it, but I think my definition of failure now would be not being willing to accept that I ever had a success to fail from. Like I think, so I started this business, Wisdom and Wellness. And do I think a failure would be if one day I just have to stop because it wasn't, I don't know, making enough profit or whatever? I don't think so. I think the failure would be that I never actually started it, which means that I never actually felt like I was good enough to start it, or I never actually believed in myself enough to start it. You know, other questions, what will other people think of me if I fail, right? A lot of us struggle with that because a lot of times we're doing things for others anyways. And I'm so thankful that I did not start singing for other people. I'm so thankful that I didn't start this company, Wisdom and Wellness for Other People. Now, obviously, I started it because I really want to help people find freedom from chronic pain. But I didn't start it hoping people would like me and approve of me. It really was God who for sure orchestrated the whole thing coming together. You know, what lies am I believing about myself? These are such good questions for all of us to ask. I think one for me, if I'm being honest, would be that I think that I just have never had the quote unquote components of a good, successful person. Like, I've never seen myself as an entrepreneur or a business person or all of this kind of stuff. Because I think for the last like 10 years, I've just seen myself as this fragile, unaccomplished person who is unable to really achieve anything big at all. And so when I really started asking myself, what lies do I believe about myself? It was really hard. And it still is. This is not a, I am not a overnight success where I think I started there and now I'm here. Look at me. It's like this, right? This journey of life where we're going up and down. You know, what does God think about me and what does the Bible say about me? About me as what I do? About me as who God created me to be? These are questions that are really helpful to ask. You know, what do I have to give up? Ha! What do I have to give up for success? Okay, so this is a hard, this is a interesting conversation and it's something, it's, I feel like it's sensitive. So I hope you can hear my heart. This comes from a very, very, very compassionate place. My therapist also asked me, you know, what benefits do you gain from your chronic pain? I was like, benefits? I don't know, my entire life being ruined, all of my relationships being ruined. The very fact that I'm living in a nightmare every day? Sorry, no. She said, okay. Okay, give it a minute. Give it a minute. When I started realizing that I had an excuse for everything. This is just me. I'm not stating this as anybody else. This is just me. I had an excuse to get out of anything I ever wanted. And nobody would question me. Nobody. Because I was the sick girl. I didn't feel good. And so if I canceled on something or didn't show up, like people just assumed, yeah, it just must be because she's not feeling good. So, you know, love you. And as I've gotten better, there's been things I've committed to. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't want to go. And to that, I've now had to look at my people pleasing and my fear of any kind of conflict. Now, telling people I just don't want to come, for most people, that's not really conflict. But for me, I'm like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. So I can't use the excuse. I can. I can. Because also being free from chronic pain doesn't mean that you never ever experience pain again. So, I mean, if I'm not feeling well, I'm not going to go to something. But it's not, it can't be my go-to anymore. Because I do often feel good. So now I'm having to utilize boundaries, right? I can't just say yes to everything. I have to actually feel out my calendar, my week. And then if I say yes, I need to honor it and not back out of things, which is like really hard to do. It is really hard to do. So I don't have these excuses that I used to have. Mind you, at the time, I wasn't like consciously being like, oh yeah, 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 I got an excuse to get out of this. At the time, I was like, oh my gosh, like I have a migraine flaring up again or my body is on fire. I cannot go. So it didn't feel like this conscious excuse that I was making. But now I'm like, oh, yeah, we leaned heavy on that. We leaned heavy on it. So now that I'm living life free from chronic pain, it's opened up all these doors to this new existence that I forgot about. To where when I wake up in the morning, my first thought isn't what hurts. It's now, all right, I got a lot to do today, Lord, right? And sometimes that can be really scary because I am walking out things I've always wanted to do, and now I'm doing them. And again, like I said, it's making me confront all of my fears, all of my self-doubt, all of my insecurity in different areas of my life, and it can be really tough. I think some other questions you can ask: what might happen if I'm successful? Like, will anything bad happen if I'm successful? What if I do get that promotion? You know, I might have to work harder or like more hours. What if I do start that business? Like, it's going to be reliant upon me, you know, to do some hard work and get some stuff done. What if I do mend that relationship? Then I'm going to have to continue to be accountable and engage in any conflict if it does come up, right, with healthy relationships. I think I definitely used my chronic pain as a crutch to not run towards conflict in relationships that were worth saving, right? I love avoiding conflict and I'm working on it, but it can be really hard. So I don't know if anybody has any thoughts or questions, but it is this interesting thing to reframe, not what if I stay sick, but what if I actually get better? And the interesting thing is when we look at that question, we can start to see how our brain and our nervous system are so intertwined with our chronic pain. You know, pain is our brain's opinion. So if our brain is viewing our external and our internal world as dangerous, it's going to do whatever it can to get us to a place of safety. When we think about, you know, in primitive days, we were scared of, you know, the lion or the tiger or bear. What's the song? I'm not scared of lions and tigers and bears. Sorry. That they would eat us. And so our brain is still stuck in this, I have to stay alive from the dangerous bear or lion or tiger. Except now, today, it is an uncomfortable conversation. Being around a person who maybe we have a lot of past trauma with. It is engaging in things that actually do bring up a lot of fear. And what our brain is doing is like, oh my gosh, nope, 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 this is dangerous. And so our brain in tandem with our nervous system is actually creating symptoms in our body because it's wanting us to go back to safety. It's wanting me to get back into bed and turn on the TV and live this numbed out fake existence where I'm seeing my life through watching Friends or watching New Girl or watching some of these other things where people look like they're actually, you know, doing something with their life. And I can kind of live my life through them and not have to actually be conscious to my own existence and realize, wow, there's some work we got to do. There's all work that we all get to do. We don't have to do it, but we get to do it. Which, again, can be a scary thing. And so, I'm just looking at some of these comments. Yeah, thank you. I think there's a lot of things that a lot of us are learning, and it's uncomfortable. It's really uncomfortable. I think growth, in general, is so uncomfortable. And then we get to the other side and we're like, oh my gosh, I'm so thankful, God, that you allowed me to go through that, because now I have a little more resilience. I have a little more grit. I have a little more courage. I have a little more dependence on you and trust in you, God, because you said I was going to get through it and you brought me through it. I love 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of sound mind. One of my favorite songs that I listen to pretty much every day is, it's called Sound Mind. It's by Melissa and Jonathan Helser, or there's another version of Brian and Katie Torwalt. And it's that scripture, and it's so powerful. So in closing, you know, if you're interested in this subject at all, in this topic of the mind-body syndrome and our brain and our nervous system and our emotional world, I'm really passionate about learning, continuing to learning for myself, right? And sharing what I'm learning. So if you want to send me your email address, you can put it here, or you can DM me. Every Friday, I put out just a mailing newsletter. And a mailing newsletter? An email. Is that how you say it? I don't know. An email newsletter. Every Friday. And it's just a way to bring a little bit more encouragement and empowerment and hope. Maybe for you or a loved one that you know that might be navigating chronic pain. I have my podcast, Wisdom and Wellness with Wit, where we talk about all things emotional, mental, spiritual, physical health. I don't think one is really separated from the other as I'm learning about just my own chronic pain journey. Like, they are all so related. The way that God created our brain and our body is so powerful. I have put out an ebook that goes deeper into this subject. And then I have a 21-day online course as well. If you are like, this is for me, I want to do this. And we go super in-depth into biblical integration, into the psychology and the neuroscience behind these different perspectives of the mind-body syndrome. And then Friday, I'm excited. We are going to start. We're launching a mini-series of chronic pain courses for those of you who might not have 21 days to really dedicate to this healing journey, as well as maybe in this time, your finances, you're like, hey, I can't do 21 days, but I really want to start this journey of healing from chronic pain. So this is so for you. My heart is that everybody can have a resource, because I know what it was like in college, after college, to try and find these modalities and these things that were going to cure me, right? And so I was spending all of my money. I essentially was working to then pay for a treatment, or, you know, a supplement protocol, or going to the acupuncturist or chiropractor, or, you know, all of those things, which I'm not saying are bad, but they were not my cure. And I think for some of us, we are so reliant on things that are external of our own body. And God created us so brilliantly that we actually have a lot more authority and power in our own body and mind than we even know. So learning how to harness that and apply it, that's really just my hope and dreams for these resources for some of you. So if you are interested in any of those things, you can find them on my website, wisdomandwellnessww.com. You can always reach out to me on Instagram, Facebook, on my podcast. I am here because I just really want to be a source of help. I don't think that I know it all. I just know that I have learned so much in my own journey, and I really believe that God has so much in store for each one of us as well.
Like what you hear so far? Click the subscribe button and give me a rating and review. And let's keep this conversation going. You can find me on social media at Whitney Wood Music. You can find any of my latest singles out anywhere that you stream or purchase music under Whitney Wood, as well as my latest passion project. It's a kids EP called BB and Bubba. I'll have the links below so you can find them. Have a great week, everybody.